morning. Take a moment. I said that we were going to be talking about veterans and spiritual veterans as well, and kind of transition this moment in our national kind of time and celebration to also talk about our spiritual commitments to Christ. And so I want to begin with Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He begins to talk about those who are mature believers, those who have seen a few things, who have been on the path. We've been talking over the last series about how our direction determines our destination. It's not our intentions, but what we're actually doing in our lives that is going to shape and mold us to where we end up. But we're going to talk about those of us, and as you progress down that road and you're ending up in seeing and beginning to see the destination, folks, from that point of view, as you begin to talk to people who have been down the road a ways, you know, what can we learn? What would they tell us? What have others who have gone before us told us about the path? Because it's one thing to set our lives in a direction, but we don't know what that road holds. Fortunately, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ does, and those who have gone before us do. So we look to their words and to understand what we're in for as we walk with Christ. But it is important this day that we do honor and thank our veterans for their sacrifice, for their family's sacrifice. One of the things, if you have never been in a position to say goodbye to someone who is going off to a combat zone, you do not understand the fear and anxiety that accompanies that. Having grown up with and on military bases, and then remembering my father going during the first Gulf War under Bush Senior with General Schwarzkopf. And do you remember that time? Some of you were adults at that time. You know, I still remember my father, who was with 1st Battalion, 6th Marines at that time. They were going to training. We said goodbye to them. They were going to training in Japan with a battalion, and they were on a boat to go there. And then the Gulf War started. The invasion of Kuwait began. They were just hitting Japan, literally had to refuel the ship and turn it toward the Gulf. When he left home, we didn't know that he was going to be in a war. We didn't know what that would be like, and so you can imagine our fears in the midst of that. It can be an emotional time for those not only who serve, but for their families as well. And it takes great faith for those who serve our country to put their name on those papers. They're putting great faith not only in their God, but in their country, to send them in places where they should go, to do things that they should be doing. Our country does its best to make sure that's the case, but it hasn't always been so. And so our veterans definitely need our love and support and respect for all that they have done and are doing and have been willing to do. So in speaking that way and recognizing this day and this moment in our country, it's also, I think, important to turn our hearts to, you know, going the course in faith and the kind of faith it takes to go that distance, to talk about veteran faith in the kingdom and in the family of God, because the kingdom of God has gone through quite a bit of travail since Jesus came and led us and taught us about his kingdom. If we're on the right direction in life, if we've decided that we're no longer going to be guiding our life toward diversions, whether it be relationally, whether it be professionally, whether it be financially, if we've decided we're going to live for Christ, we're going to surrender every arena of our life to his direction, then we need to understand what awaits down that road. And so I just thought we'd take, you know, a little bit of time this morning. So hear the words of Paul as he writes to the church. Yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the Scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us say together, thanks be to God. Talking about that mind of Christ. What do those who have been on the road of faith know, and what do they have to teach us? As we begin to ask them, we recognize certain things about living in faith in Christ. As I ask, I don't know if you've ever got the chance and probably have in your lifetime to talk to a more mature believers, people who have been down the road of faith, who have seen the difficulties of this life and have persevered in the name of Jesus Christ and to do His work faithfully, patiently over all time, over their whole life. If you've been in conversation with them, you'll recognize some common threads that run through it. First of all, we follow the commands of our leader. If you ask someone, what does it take to walk with God? It has to take, at the core, this one word, obedience. Let's all say it together. Obedience, right? Obedience is that thing that's required. We have to follow the commands of our leader. They're not options. One of the things, you've probably seen films about military training. How many of you have seen those in your lifetime? Whether they've been fictional or whether they've been documentary, you've seen the kind of training and heard people say things like this, we have to break them down so we can build them back up. How many of you have ever heard that? How many of you believe that? I don't know. You know, there's how many of you think they really get them broken down? I don't know. It's kind of a, some do. Well, there's certainly a core truth to that in that one of the things that every training of a military person that you hear about and are taught about is that the one thing they have to learn is to what? Obey what? Orders. Why is that so essential? Because on the battlefield, when people are dying, that's not the time to puzzle out in your mind what to do and how to do it. You need to keep moving. For those who have gone before us in faith, one of the things they have understood is that they had to follow the commands of Jesus, whether it made sense to them in their life in that moment, whether they could puzzle out the impacts of them or navigate or predict the consequences. They understood that they had to follow Jesus. There are commands that He gave us on how to live our life, things in His Scripture and in His Word that sometimes we wrestle against, and certainly our culture throws to the wayside and looks at the church and says we're crazy to follow Him. That doesn't make sense. Why would a God say those things? Why would He want you to do those things? Just live like us. Certainly God, if you say He loves you, He'll understand. So why not live your life as everybody else lives it? And if God is as powerful as you say He is, then He'll fix it later on. Isn't that what the world tells us if they say anything about God at all? It's okay. Don't worry about it. God loves you. And certainly God loves you, and that is true no matter what. But He's invited us into a relationship where we are to follow Him. A few weeks ago we said that. Trust me. Follow me. Trust me. Follow me. And those who have gone before us certainly know that to obey the Lord is everything. So often we come to faith to grasp for God's blessings, but not to shoulder the responsibility of obedience to Him. And so life with Christ causes us to undergo training in which we learn to obey His orders. How many of you have disobeyed Christ in your life? Anybody here? Just a few of us. Yeah, we've all disobeyed. How many of us then, you got the one hand in the air, raise your other hand if you felt the consequences of disobeying Christ. You've added complications to your life because you didn't do it God's way. And now you're living with it because, remember, we said a few weeks ago, you can't just fix your problems. There's no easy solutions. You have to turn your life in a different direction. But the problem is we have to carry with us all that we've done before and the scars in our minds, on our bodies, that we've inflicted upon ourselves. And now the path is a little harder because we're carrying a lot more weight, the weight of memories, of poor decisions, the insecurity that comes with those. And so we wrestle with that. The cure, if we were to ask, and we ask Paul, the cure is obedience. We can begin to surrender some of that uncertainty in our life to Christ if we let him command us. The second thing that, before we get to that, you didn't put it up yet, did you? Or, you know, okay. I was going to say, you know, we have an enemy in this battlefield. And he will do anything, I should say, this malevolent being, does everything in its power to destroy the things of God. He attempts to divide you from your Creator, to divide you from one another. He does these things hoping that eventually you'll give up your faith entirely. And if he can't do that, then his goal is to make you and I ineffectual in our Christian life, to make our faith such that it impacts no one but ourselves. If Satan can make your faith so ineffectual that all that happens in your life is you have nice feelings about God every once in a while, then Satan has trapped you in a cage of his designing. Because now your faith is not really about God and about others, but it's all about you. And so to escape that trap, to escape that end, that direction, that destination, it requires us to follow Christ's commands. The cost is great. When Adam and Eve fell, death and war, the bondage of sin entered into the world. The spiritual battle began on this earth. And it's not always a hot war. Sometimes it's a cold war. Sometimes you're not wrestling with doing horrible, evil things to one another. Sometimes you're invited to, instead of following Christ, to just not care about somebody. They don't matter. Who cares about them? I don't like them, so I don't have to deal with them. I don't have to have a relationship with them. You know, this ineffectual, this cold war that we play with one another, the complacency and the indifference of God's people upon occasion. It's a spiritual battle. The cost of that battle is great. So often the cost is our very pride, isn't it? To admit that we are not who we think we are. And to come to Christ and acknowledge that our battle is not to protect our own interests on this earth, but to protect the interests of God. There is a message of salvation that you and I have been entrusted with on this earth. And others need that message to be free from their bondage. There are people in captivity that need you to release them, need your word, your love, your grace, your kindness to help them understand who God is. We're to bring that message. Veterans who have gone before us understand that to bring that message, there is a great cost. In John 15, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. When warriors are caught in firefights, wounded, they call out for their fellow soldiers to help them on the battlefield. You and I are on the battlefield of this world. The wounds aren't bullets, although sometimes they are. You've seen some of the shootings, you know, that have been happening. We're called to lend our aid to one another. not lend our condemnation of one another. Lend forgiveness and life and peace to one another. There is a great cost. We have to surrender some of our agendas so that God can take us on His agenda. Isn't that true? For me to go God's way, I have to surrender my own way. They're not the same way. How many of you know that? Say, my way is not God's way. Let's say that together. My way is not God's way. Do you believe that? How many of you, though, live that way? Sometimes I do live like my way is God's way. How many of you like me? Yeah, my way is God's way. I just wish people would do it my way and the world would be happy, wouldn't it? Everybody would get along, wouldn't they? No, they wouldn't. Don't be ridiculous. You know who you are. You know what you're like. Would the world really get along if they were all like you? You wouldn't get along with the world if they were all like you, would you? One of the things we recognize as we grow more mature in life is the things that bother us about others so intensely are probably because they're true in us, aren't they? The things we recognize in others are things that we're most prone to. How many of you are really good at recognizing arrogant people? How many of you, those same people, are a little bit arrogant, right? How many of you are really good at recognizing bossy people? You guys can spot them a mile away, right? You get away from those people, right? You know them. Why do you know them so well? You don't even have to hear them speak. Sometimes you can spot them a mile. You know, oh, that's not a person I want to be around. Why are you so good at recognizing them? Because you stare at one in the mirror every morning, right? That's how it works. That's how sin gets in us. And that's how Satan works among us. But in Christ, the scriptures say there is no condemnation. Isn't that true? You guys still awake? Am I boring you? I don't know. So the cost is great. You know, it is not Christ for us, but you for others that's the big battle in our lives, isn't it? We can all accept that Christ has died for us, and we think that's the end of the story, but the story begins there. That's the beginning of the direction. That's the beginning of our road with Christ. The rest of our road with Christ is me learning how to give our lives for others. That's the road and the path and the direction God has set us on. But for some of us, we want to camp out at the beginning of the journey. Christ has died for me. I receive and accept your death for me. You've made me right with you. That's good. I'm done. I love those words. I'm done. I've heard them from so many people about so many other people. I'm done. Well, good for you. I'm not. And thankfully, God's not done either. He loves you. He's not done with you. Imagine if God said the things about you that you say about others. Wouldn't that be hurtful? Wouldn't that hurt? Wouldn't that be wounding? Wouldn't you be lost in despair if he said those kind of things? We have to think about these things as Christ. Veterans go where they're sent. Disciples of Christ go where they're sent. God sends, we go. Paul talks about that in his letter to Timothy. The word apostle, if you don't know this, you may know it already, means sent ones. That's what the word apostle means, those who are sent, sent ones. So when we're called apostles, when we're called those who follow and disciples of Christ, we're called to be sent ones. Paul says this to Timothy about this very nature. Endure hardships with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Isn't it interesting? He uses that language. No one serving as a soldier gets involved or caught up in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. So that we get entangled in the world's kind of mess. Our whole purpose is the message of Jesus Christ. And we're called to go and bring that message to others. To go and into all the world and make disciples of Christ. That's our message. We're the sent ones. So we have to endure those hardships. We go where we're sent. We don't get to decide to whom we're to minister. Every person that you lock eyes with, every person that you encounter in your world, every person God has put into your life is your mission field for Christ. Everyone, even the ones you don't like, the ones you didn't choose, the ones you could ignore if you could, is your mission field for Jesus. It's my mission field for Jesus. We go to those we're sent. But every veteran knows as you get further down the road, you bear more and more scars. Our nation's veterans understand this. Veterans are changed by battle. You and I are changed by the spiritual war that we're in. Sticking by other people, walking with other people in this life, means we're going to bear their wounds. And their wounds are going to be played out in our lives as well. Being in relationship with other people means we accept their woundedness just as we hope they accept ours. We bear one another's burdens, the scriptures say, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So often, though, let's be honest, we Christians are really good at shooting our wounded, aren't we? And leaving them on the battlefield. When a brother or sister makes a mistake, sins against us, we say those two words that we said earlier, I'm done, right? How many of you have said it? I'm done with them. That's your solution to them sinning. Again, is that what you, do you want Christ's solution to you and your sin to be that? Because we pray every Sunday when we pray the Lord's Prayer, forgive me my sins as in the same manner, in the same capacity as I forgive those who sin against me. So we've asked Christ every week to limit his forgiveness to you, to limit his forgiveness to me to the way that I choose to forgive others. Did you ever think about that? You see, we all have scars. We all have areas of woundedness. And that woundedness affects other people. The history that we bear, the broken relationships that have hurt us in our past, the disappointments that we've had in other people, they come into our relationships currently, and we hope and pray that those people will bear with us and hang out with us and stay with us, even in spite of our own nonsense. And that means that you and I are called to do that very same thing. Preemptively, not afterwards. We do that game, don't we? Well, if they do it for me, then I'll do it for them, right? And since they didn't do this, then I'm not going to do that, and I'm okay with not doing that. That's the way it goes. You know, Jesus talked about that, right? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Is that the message of Christ? Was that the limit of his forgiveness? Was that the limit of his grace? Christ is asking you to be the initiator of forgiveness, each one of us. Not the receiver, the initiator of forgiveness. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ came, Christ loved us. While that other person has disappointed you, while that other person is breaking your heart, you love them. We are changed by battle. But the scripture above talks to us, the scripture that we read earlier talks to us about something greater. And that is our victory. Followers of Jesus understand and experience true victory. Understand that there is a destination in store for us. And we haven't focused much about that over the last few weeks. We've just talked about, you know, where we end up is because of the directions we've taken. And if we want to end up in the place God wants us, we have to follow his directions. We know that, right? So this issue, where are we going to end up? The Bible tells us of a time of victory. He says, many are called, but few are chosen. The way to damnation is wide, but the path of life with Christ is narrow. The kingdom way is narrow. Few are those that walk on it, but for those who do, they will inherit the throne, the kingdom, not the throne, but the crown of life, he says, that will be granted to be co-heirs with Jesus Christ and all that Jesus inherits, that we're going to be at that feast someday, that we're going to be with him, and all those to whom he has called, his brothers and sisters, we're going to share that fellowship. There's never going to be a time in your life or my life with Christ as we reach those shores where we will ever have to wonder about someone else, what they think of us, whether they love us. Because all those in that company when we arrive, I mean, we talk about all the other stuff, the streets of gold and all the other stuff. I don't know, you know, where all that comes from. You know, but I think when we do that, we major in the minors. Because the things that bother me in this world aren't this world, even though I don't like the snow outside. You know, and the little inconveniences and the easy things to overcome, the flat tire here, the form I have to fill out at that place, you know, the things that wear on my mind are relationships. How many of you, that's true for you? The broken relationships, the hope for healing, those are the things that stress me and make me. And imagine a place and a time where every single person that you meet filled with the love of Christ, the true love of our Savior, the acceptance, the grace, and that I want to be one of that number. I want to be of that company, which means the way I live here has to be moving in that direction. So I would invite you, as we learn from those who have gone before us, especially Paul, that there is a victory ahead that you and I are called to. God reveals it day by day as we spend time with him. We have to follow the commands of our leader. They're not options. They're non-negotiable. Jesus calls us to love one another, and that is what we must do. The cost is great, though. God invites you and I to give our whole life to him, not part of it, our whole life. We're called to go where Jesus sends us, into great difficulty sometimes. Difficult relationships, difficult situations, troubling environments. And as we do that, as we hang out with one another, we're going to experience scars, not just from the outside world. Sometimes we'll receive scars from one another. But we're called to go on in love. Because as we do that, you and I, as we follow Jesus, as we trust him, as we follow him, we will begin to experience more and more and more victory in our lives. That's the message of the gospel. And I think it's what we need to hold on to, so that those who come after us, as we share our lives with them, they receive and understand these same truths. So that our lives will not have been in vain. So that our company of faith will stand firm. Let's bow our heads and humble our hearts in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you this day for your love and grace, for what we have learned by those who have gone before. We thank you for Paul, for all the apostles, those you sent into the world so that they might send others, so that we all might make disciples of you, become fully formed, mature Christians, spiritual veterans in this world, standing strong, the core of your kingdom. Lord, help us to take up the battle against our enemy. Give us courage to hold together when he seeks to divide. Give us courage to love when he asks of us indifference. Lord, help us to listen to you and your words, your call. Give us the spirit and strength to honor your commitments to us, so that we would hold our heads with honor in this life. Your honor and your glory by which we are saved. And your honor that we bear every day of our lives. Help us, Lord, in this struggle and in this journey, that we would truly be yours in all things. In your name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. Thank you for your time, church, this morning. We're going to continue our time of worship as we sing together. Let's stand as we do.